Hello, welcome to Black British Girl Talks Crime, Finance, etc., a podcast about crime, finance, and other things. Each week, I will bring you a true crime story or financial advice or just about life as a black girl in British society. Follow along for true crime stories, tips on budgeting or home ownership, and general insight into current events and black British life.
Hi everyone, so today I'm covering a case that when I found out about it, I thought I definitely have to cover it, and it is the Duke Lacrosse case. So on March 13, 2006, three of the four co-captains of the Duke Lacrosse team held a party in an off-campus house in Durham, North Carolina. They hired two exotic dancers to perform for a total of $800. And this fee was paid by contributions of several players at this party. However, not all players knew that there would be exotic dancers there. So the exotic dancers were Crystal Mangum, 28-year-old, she was single mother of two children, and the other one was called Kim, and they were both students at the nearby North Carolina Central University, also in Durham. Despite requesting two white exotic dancers, the two women who arrived separately were black. So Crystal was black, and Kim was mixed race. She was black and Asian. And there was an incident during the performance where sexual jokes were made to the dancers by one person, I believe, and they paused their performance in response. However, the women were coaxed back into the house with an apology, however, they were again approached by the man who made the sexual jokes, and they again refused to perform. So many of the players were unhappy about the fee they paid and such a short performance, but players started to leave, and at which point the two dancers were separated. But that's what was reported, because what happened was the exotic dancers left the bathroom and the house for the second time. So when that happened, a resident locked the door so they and the people who left the house couldn't get back in. And then both Crystal and another player were yelling racial slurs at each other as they left, and Crystal and Kim ended up leaving in Kim's car. However, Kim called 911 and reported that she had just come from this house and a white man had yelled racial slurs at her from near the East Campus wall. So police later went to the house as a result of her complaint, but got no answer at the door, and a neighbour just said the party held earlier had finished. So Kim drove away with Crystal and the two women began to argue. So Kim stopped the car and attempted to push Crystal out of the car. And when that didn't happen successfully, Kim drove Crystal to a nearby Kroger supermarket, went inside, told a female security guard that there's a woman who's refusing to leave her vehicle. And then the guard walked to the car, asked Crystal to leave, but Crystal stayed. The guard said she suspects she might be under the influence of other drugs. So at 1:22 a.m. the guard called 911 to report that Crystal refused to leave the car. Police arrived and then removed Crystal from the car and questioned her. So Crystal didn't have any ID on her, she wouldn't talk to police, she was having difficulty walking, and so police took her to the Durham Centre Access, a mental health and substance abuse facility for involuntary commitment, and during that admission process she claimed she had been raped. So during all this time that this is happening, one of the players sent what he called a humorous, ironic email to other players threatening to kill exotic dancers at his house. And police ended up releasing this email, not the exchange, and he received 1,000 death threats in a week, the person who sent it. However, he wasn't charged with a crime, but he was temporarily suspended from Duke with the university citing safety concerns, and he was invited back to Duke to continue his studies later that summer. So this email will come into play later. So going back to March 14th, 2006, Crystal told police in Durham, North Carolina, that those three players had raped her in the house bathroom, a small house bathroom. So on March 23rd, the team's 46 white members provided police with DNA samples, they were photographed, and the three co-captains volunteered to give DNA samples and take a lie detector test and be interviewed, but the police denied this offer. So Crystal was interviewed and a warrant was obtained to search a residence, and between March 16th and 21st, police showed Crystal a photo identification lineup, but unfortunately they did not use the correct technique. So instead of using the filler technique where there will be pictures of the people who are not the suspects or not related to the suspects, they instead showed pictures of just the lacrosse team. So on March 28th, Duke suspended the team for two games, and soon after that their coach was forced to resign, and the coach was called Mike Presler. So he was forced to resign and the school's president cancelled the rest of the lacrosse season. On April 10th, defense attorneys revealed that DNA test results showed no match between the players and the accuser. However, many still believe Crystal's story. Crystal was African-American and the three LaCrosse players were all white. They're from affluent backgrounds. They were out-of-town students. And Duke's reputation as a privileged, largely white institution was quite harmful at this point in time. Also, remember the humorous, ironic, threatening email. It ignited a lot of debate about a gang mentality amongst sports players and sexual assault on college campuses. So it was really widespread in terms of getting media attention. And despite the lack of a DNA match, there was public negative attention from people in authority. So, for example, on March 27th, Durham County District Attorney Mike Nifong received his first briefing on the case, and he labelled the players hooligans. He vowed to continue to investigate the case. And on March 29th, 2006, just 15 days after her complaint, he stated that gang-like rape activity had occurred by three people who went into the bathroom with the young lady. And now, at the time, Mike was running for election as a DA when the case was given to him, and he had been appointed to the position on a temporary basis in 2005. So he was accused of pushing this case because there was an upcoming election. He wanted to win over Durham's black voters, and he actually ended up winning the election. So two of the LaCrosse players were arrested and indicted on April 18th on charges of first-degree rape, first-degree sexual offence, and kidnapping. And the same day, search warrants were executed on two of the dorm rooms. On May 15th, 2006, the third player was indicted on charges of first-degree rape, sexual offence, and kidnapping. This time, this person publicly denied the charges and he said he expected to be exonerated. During this time, the other dancer, Kim, stated that she did not believe that Crystal was raped and she was not her and she was not forcefully separated from her. So on December 22nd, 2006, Mike dropped the rape charge against all three LaCrosse players after Crystal told an investigator a different version of events and said she was no longer sure about some aspects of her original story. And the kidnapping and sexual offence charges were still pending against all three players. But North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper dropped all charges and he said the three players were innocent and victims of a tragic rush to accuse. So on December 28, 2006, the North Carolina bar filed ethics charges against Mike over his conduct in the case, accusing him of making public statements that were prejudicial to the administration of justice. They increased public condemnation of the accused. He engaged in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation. It was a 17-page document and accused Mike of violating four rules of professional conduct, listing more than 100 examples of statements he made to the media. So on January 12, 2007, Mike sent a letter to Roy Cooper asking to be taken off the case. And the following day, January 13th, Roy announced that he would take over the case. On January 24, 2007, the North Carolina State Bar filed a second round of ethics charges against Mike for this abuse and that prejudicial aspect to the administration of justice. And apparently he withheld DNA evidence to mislead the court. So on March 23rd, 2007, all the charges would soon be dropped. That was announced by Justin Paul Caulfield, a legal analyst for the sports magazine Inside LaCrosse. So this was disputed. However, on April 11th, 2007, North Carolina Attorney General's office dismissed all charges against the three LaCrosse players, again declaring them innocent. And Roy announced that Crystal would not be prosecuted because investigators and attorneys had interviewed her, thought she may actually believe the many different stories that she had been telling. So it's in the best interest of justice not to bring charges. So on April 12, 2007, the Attorney General said they were innocent, but also called Mike a rogue prosecutor. So in June 2007, Mike was stripped of his license for dishonesty, fraud, deceit, and misrepresentation. He is the first prosecutor in North Carolina to be disbarred for trial conduct. He served one day in jail for lying about sharing DNA tests with the charge of criminal contempt. And the lab director said it was a misunderstanding he forgot. But nevertheless, Crystal maintained her innocence and insisted that she was sexually assaulted that night. And again, she was not charged. So what happened to everyone after? So the coach of the team, Mike Presler, he resigned, but he still received a lot of threatening emails, hate calls. He had signs placed on his property. He was a victim of vandalism. And on June 7, 2007, it was announced that he and Duke had reached a financial settlement. Mike was later hired as coach by Division One Bryant University in Rhode Island. In October 2007, Mike filed suit seeking to undo the settlement and hold a trial on his wrongful termination claim on the grounds that Duke spokesman John Burness had made negative comments about him. But after Duke failed to have that case dismissed and the matter was settled in 2010, Duke apologised in a press release but did not comment on what amount of compensation was given to Mike. So in May 2008, Crystal graduated from North Carolina Central University with a degree in police psychology. In October 2008, she released a memoir detailing that she was sexually assaulted and that the trial was dismissed due to political factors. Defense attorney Joseph Cheshire said basically if the book did acknowledge that the convictions against the players were true, then that they should initiate civil action. However, so unfortunately it didn't end well for Crystal. So just before midnight on February 17th, 2010, Durham police were called to Crystal's residence by her daughter, who was 9 at the time. And when they arrived, they found her and her living partner, Milton, fighting. She set fire to some of his clothing. It caused lots of smoke damage. And Crystal was arrested on charges of attempted murder, first-degree arson, assault and battery, identity theft, communicating threats, damaged property, resisting an officer, and misdemeanor child abuse. So at this time, she could not see her children, so these rights were taken away, and she was able to see them under supervision. However, on December 17, 2010, Crystal was convicted of contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile injury to personal property and resisting a public officer. So they deadlocked on the felony arson charge, so they couldn't reach a decision on it. But after the verdict, she was sentenced to 88 days in jail, and she already served, so she just left. And then on January 21st, 2011, the assistant district attorney Mark McCulloch announced that he would not retry Crystal on the arson charges. Also earlier in 2002, Crystal was arrested that year for stealing a taxi and trying to run over a police officer. And the incident report stated that she had been an exotic dancer, and she served 3 weekends in jail, and she paid $4,200 in restitution and fees and was given 2 years probation. In November 2013, Crystal was found guilty of second degree murder. She stabbed her boyfriend Reginald, who died 10 days after, and she said it was self-defense, fearing that he would kill her. And she was sentenced to 14 to 18 years in prison. So she is projected to be released from prison on February 27, 2026, and she is currently in a North Carolina prison. So on June 18, 2007, Duke University announced it had reached a settlement with the 3 Duke lacrosse players who were falsely accused. No details of the settlement were disclosed. It's been rumored to be $20 million each. The university did spend more than $100 million between legal fees, settlement costs, and other expenses to preserve its brand. And some suits were filed by the other people at the party. So according to author William D. Cohen, it is $20 million each, but then another player's attorney said it was nowhere near that much, so it's not clear how much they each received. So one of the accused enrolled as a student at Brown University in autumn 2007, and he helped them reach a number 10 national ranking. He became an active fundraiser and supporter for the Innocence Project, and he graduated in 2010 and from Emory University School of Law in 2013, and he stated that his experience during this case motivated him to attend law school and pursue a legal career. Okay, so the second co-captain enrolled at Loyola College in Maryland, and he led the team in scoring, and the team qualified for the 2010 NCAA lacrosse tournament, and he graduated in May 2010. And then the third co-captain already graduated from Duke before being charged, and he received an MBA from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania in May 2012. So I would like to quote the following sources that I use for this episode. So I use vanityfair.com, wikipedia.com, and huffingtonpost.co.uk.
Get your fix every week by subscribing to Black British Girl Talks wherever you get your podcasts. Any pictures or further information concerning each episode will be on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Black British Girl Talks. And as always, if you have any questions, DM on Instagram. Until next time, goodbye.